Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg, co-host Green Diva Lisa, and sidekick Green Dude Scott share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
Woohoo! We're on, baby. Good morning and
thank
welcome.
You for cheering for us, by the way.
I know. Don't you like that?
We got to start a Saturday morning.
Our little Green Diva and Dudes fans. Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Hour. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lisa.
And Green Dude Scott.
And we have Silent Jesse waving, in case anybody cares.
Silent Jesse has a new this is a whole new world for her. She used to be our engineer. Now we have Mike as our engineer here at WMTR. And Jesse's now our new associate producer.
Yeah, she's having fun. She's got the flip camera going. Yay! Yeah, we'll post that. So that'll be early morning embarrassment coming. Got our Facebook pages and computers open. So if you want to find us on Facebook and communicate with us that way, go to Green Divas Radio Show. And also, I think today we're going to be brave and put the word out that we'll accept calls. If anybody wants to call and heckle us or ask questions about what we're talking about or talk to our Green Diva correspondent calling in today, they can call us at 973-267-9687. And for anybody who's really clever, that's 973-267-WMTR. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Anyway, let me get a little business out of the way, because this is important business. We have some online media partners that have been very helpful in getting the word out about our wonderful show, and that's care2.com, eatdrinkbetter.com, ecoseed.org, Green Revolution Radio out of WKVOI in Tucson, Arizona. You can hear him, and he does our vignettes. And actually, I was on the show last week. That's 5:30 Sundays in Arizona. FeelGoodStyle.com, Grateful Dread Public Radio. That's GDreadRadio.net. She rebroadcasts the show every Sunday and Tuesday, 9 a.m. Woohoo!
Well, these online partners are available on our GD site, correct?
Yes, they're all pretty much, I think. I'm wondering. I don't think I ever got a banner ad from Grateful Dread Radio.
We'll make sure that they are because
yeah, everybody
I know
else
that
is. Everybody else is.
A lot of people at even 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday are a little sleepy-eyed.
So let's just tell them while we're doing our shameless plugging of everything that you can find our blog at thegreendivas.com. And one thing we're going to be doing now that we have Jesse kind of helping more, is we're going to be posting links to everything we're talking about. We'll probably mention it once, but we'll also post all of the links and the resources you hear about on our blog after the show every week so you can
and that's
keep
the
up.
GreenDivas.com. GreenDiva.com.
Anyway, that's probably like some kind of trademark infringement. So today we have our Green Diva correspondent, Kimberly Phipps Nickel from Reno, Nevada, calling in. And she's always fun. She's got a lot going on. She's all over the country. She's one of these LEED certified interior design people. And she goes around and helps green up, especially commercial. She does a lot of work in schools and things. But she's also very involved in her community in creating, I think they have like a, it's not the traditional food co-op you and I are used to. It's more of a food co-op for local farmers to bring food into a sort of urban warehouse where local restaurateurs can come pick up food. And
oh, it's like the docks.
Well, and to help create, I guess, a platform for the local food to get dispersed
in
her community.
That's what I used to do, too, with just hay. We would go to the Sussex County Co-op and bring truckloads of hay, and it was the best. It's taking your stuff to market.
I don't think
it's
a new concept.
No.
Sure.
But it's lost its base and now it's coming back. It's a great idea.
Yeah. And of course it's a perfect resource for the organic.
Absolutely.
It's hard to find. And if you can do it in bulk, then that often helps as well.
Speaking of organic, we had fun this week. We hadn't put out a poll in a while on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
And
what a response.
We got a lot of response from one that we put out because I found a story this week from a good friend of mine who is a writer. She used to write for Relevant Times. Her name's Nancy Dreyfus. And she's one of the best writers, and she's such a good journalist. She does a lot of homework, and she has a great sense of humor, which really makes all this stuff kind of almost palatable. But she had done a very extensive story about GMOs, which, for anybody who wants to know what that is genetically modified organisms and genetically engineered food. Just sort of a 101 explaining what it is, what the controversy is about. And some of the things that she's learned, and she references a lot of great scientific research and organizations.
Well, the results of the poll are very interesting because just about everybody said they don't want it.
So I put out the poll because I was really inspired by reading her story, which, by the way, I've reprinted on our blog. So go to thegreendivas.com. Anyway, I know he's laughing.
It's a very long article, but it's really worth sifting through. I've read it a couple of times now, and it's dense with information, but it is so interesting, and it's a little bit scary. And there really are other sides to the story. You know, there are people who think it's a bunch of hooey, and there's some of that is actually talked about in the article as well.
Well, the important thing I think for everybody to understand is, as I was saying before, the results of the poll is just about everybody said no way. Fact is you're consuming them today.
Right.
Right.
That's the thing.
And, you know, I have a friend in Australia who works in the industry, and I also had a really good friend that was an attorney at DuPont who was on the other side of that fence as well. But that was years ago. My friend in DuPont, I haven't spoken to him about the GMOs lately. I was hoping to get him to weigh in before the show today, but I haven't heard back from him. But when they first started, you know, they first started talking about it, and when I talked to my friend in Australia, they talk about feeding the world.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot produce enough produce to feed some of these developing countries. So, and then, of course, he also says the other argument is, you know, that nature genetically modifies plants and animals.
Yeah, over great, you know,
I understand.
Deal of time, of course.
I understand the argument, but
well, so the article really it encouraged me and inspired me, I would say, to put this poll out and see what people think, because I think I get a little muddled sometimes when it comes to looking for GMO food. I would love to not eat genetically modified food, personally. That's my personal thing.
Right.
Right or wrong. But the fact is, I'm not sure how to find it. I think that there are issues with labeling in this country. In Europe, they do label. They let you know if it's genetically modified. There are a lot of companies in this country who are doing organic food or natural foods, and they very specifically will say this is a non-GMO.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, but I don't think we have standards in this country for that. So anyway.
We don't. That's what the article says.
We've got standards.
They're not trustworthy standards, but
they're standards. They're affected by special interests.
Well, they may be corporate standards.
Exactly.
They may be
Absolutely.
Corporate standards. And there are people who are stepping up and creating, you know, on their own and creating high standards.
Right. And you know, hopefully we'll find out more about those companies that are creating their own high standards. But what's difficult now is we can't trust the things that are coming through the FDA and what those standards are about. I mean, as it is, we know, we talked about before, just organic foods, the standards are so convoluted that it's really hard to be an organic farmer in itself. I mean, you have to grow. They have standards where you have to grow a yellow squash where the neck of it isn't bent.
Yeah, it has to be standardized. Yeah. Well, let me go back to just saying what the poll is and also reminding people they can find this on Facebook if they want to participate. And you do have an opportunity to put a message in there. And I will talk about a couple of the messages. But the first question on the poll was, I always try to buy. Or the first option. Okay, let me read the question. Reading too much about GMO and GE foods these days, yuck. Inquiring Green Divas want to know. Number one, I always try to buy non-GMO GE food. Number two, I don't know how to figure out whether something is non-GMO or GE. And again, that's genetically modified organisms and genetically engineered food. And then number three was, I don't know what the heck GMO or GE food is, to which I say go to our blog now because this Nancy has done such a nice job.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking we should talk a little bit about what GMOs are before we get into these questions for our audiences. So, I mean, the title of this article is, in itself is eye-catching. Yeah, waiter, there's a fish in my tomato, the GMO
right.
story.
Right.
We've had some of the GMO science that started was just about making better produce. It's not just produce.
Pesticide resistant or whatever. Pest resistant, I should say. Pesticide resistant.
Drought resistant.
Right. Or, as my friend in Australia will argue, adding more nutrients to a particular product. There's a great documentary film, by the way, called The King of Corn.
Oh, King Corn.
Or King Corn. I'm sorry. And I know the filmmaker. I apologize. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Well, that is the most modified plant ever grown on this planet.
It is the poster child.
Oh, absolutely. We modified it from the day we found it from the Indians.
Yeah. You can hardly get an original.
No. Yeah. Right.
Well, one of the things that Nancy, I'm just going to jump in. One of the things Nancy contends in here is that if you're buying organic, you are buying non-GMO. And I'm not sure that's true anymore.
Well,
because I think that some of the GMOs have infiltrated even the organic farm, but that's just
That really is a interesting argument.
Well, you have to go back to the source, the seed that you're buying. I mean, you may not be putting pesticides on your growing plants, but mm-hmm. was that seed modified before you purchased it?
Right. Or did that seed blow onto your field and start to modify the rest of your crop?
Well, there's spray zone limitations
around
organic farms.
Well, you know, Monsanto is actually suing farmers who mm-hmm. who accidentally ended up, you know, cross-pollinating. They didn't mean to.
Right. Yeah. So there was a windstorm that night, and my pollen got on your pollen.
It's kind of weird. Yeah.
It's devastating.
Science
fiction. Actually devastating to the farm industry, to the individual farmers and stuff.
Mess with nature. It's what you get.
That's a big – well – yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it's not very natural what Monsanto is doing. But let's get back to what GMOs are. I mean, they can be as simple as just changing, adding more nutrient or making pesticide, or it can be as complicated as, oh, my gosh, jellyfish genes light up pigs' noses in the dark.
Yeah, what's that about? Why?
That if you combine, I mean, some of these things that they're combining corn engineered with human genes. Dow is doing that.
Well, how about cow genes turned pig skins into cow hide? That's kind of weird. I mean, I guess.
Right. Well,
Now think about this. Now hold on a second. When you're growing a crop or livestock, okay, you want them to be bigger. More meat on the bone.
Exactly.
You want more ears of corn per stalk.
Exactly.
And you want more. Well, you can't. There's a certain number of rows of kernels on every corn ear of corn. Did you know that?
No. Really?
Every one of them. Yes.
I did not.
It's like.
Don't ask me what it is, but I mean, it's look at nature. It's all patterns, right?
Okay, I like.
But I mean, so we've always tried to make things bigger and better because we want more from whatever we're growing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But speaking of that, it's for a long time they've combined horses with donkeys.
Well, yeah.
Nature tells us.
What did you get?
Sterile thing.
Well, that's the point. That you may get a hybrid of those two animals, but that'll be a sterile hybrid. Nature's telling us something. You can do it once, but it's not going to keep continuing. Unfortunately, we're getting so complicated about some of these combinations between plant and animal and all kinds of things that we have no way of knowing. It makes us the guinea pigs. It makes us and our children and our children's children the guinea pigs of this science.
Well, it certainly is a hot topic because, you know, there are reasons why this stuff was developing. Like Scott said, you know, farmers are trying to feed more people and be mm-hmm. more efficient about it. And I can see where it came about after World War II, and I think we used some technology from World War II. And probably, okay. But anyway, so there was a reason for it all. Right. And now we're kind of going, oh, my God. So I want to encourage people to go ahead and give us a call if you have questions. We'll try to answer
or comments.
Or comments. Yeah, questions. I don't know how much I can answer. But we can certainly comment, listen and dialogue about what you think about this. The number is 973-267-WMTR. Call us up. We're going to go on break now. And then we'll be right back. We're going to keep talking.
What's with the slingshot? I haven't seen a slingshot since I was about 10.
Oh, I've been launching seed bombs in the ugly gray spots in my neighborhood. Can't wait to see what sprouts.
Come again?
A creative company called Greenaid makes these clay balls that are regionally, you know, specific seeds and offers them by internet and even vending machines around the country.
That is so cool. Can I borrow this? I want to shoot some bombs in my neighborhood.
Find out more about seed bombs at Greenaid.com.
Welcome to Green Light with the original Green Diva, Megan McWilliams. Useful ideas for low-stress green living straight from the Fun Green Divas radio show.
Want to have a Green Diva face? Find out about natural facial care in just a moment. I want Green Diva nails without all the nasty toxic chemicals.
I've got the solution. I just tried this G2 Organics non-toxic odor-free nail polish and remover. Did I mention odor-free? Look at my gorgeous toes. And you should see the colors. The colors are great. And the best part? Each one comes with its cool little touch-up tube.
And I guess since it doesn't smell, you can whip it out anywhere. The touch-up tube, I mean. Find out more at G2Organics.com. I've tested a lot of facial and skincare products, and I'm like a canary in a coal mine. Sometimes they say organic, but if it isn't really clean, my skin will let me know quickly, and it isn't pretty. Here are a couple of facial products and ideas that have worked well for this super sensitive green diva. Make your own facial wash. It is so simple to make a nice face wash out of essential oils. Go to thegreendivas.com to find out my favorite recipe for lavender face wash. Lily Organics is my favorite moisturizing cream. Really clean. Really works. Visit Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, to get ratings on all your favorite facial and skincare products.
To find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcast, visit thegreendivas.com.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Oh,
that's so funny.
I'm a token.
I love the music on that, sort of bouncy and happy.
Oh, God.
We're talking about, like, heavy stuff here a little bit, so I need the bouncy and happy music. Welcome back. You're on with the Green Divas. Green Diva Meg.
Green Diva Lisa.
And apparently a bunch of testosterone.
Yeah, you are.
You're
just like a bag of testosterone over there.
My God.
And Green Diva.
Balance.
Silent.
Balance.
Jesse over there.
I have a lot of work to do.
Sorry. She's doing
associate
our
producer.
Camera work and... Yeah, she's doing a lot.
We're going to sneak a mic on her sometime this year.
Yeah.
It'll never happen. She's pretty determined to
remain silent, yes.
So anyway, we've been talking about GMOs and genetically engineered food, which is, you know, kind of a heavy topic, but we like food. I think we should just talk about food for a little while.
Well, I'm prepared to talk about all kinds of food today.
Yeah.
Are you ready to hear anything
I'm ready.
More about that?
I'm ready.
Well, at the Green Diva headquarters, we get all kinds of things to try out.
So test kitchen.
The test kitchen. I love it. So this week, I tried first this, a better oil is the name of the product. It's a canola oil. Now that we've just talked about corn and I do not use a lot of corn products, but every once in a while I want an oil that doesn't have the same flavor as olive. And I was really impressed with the qualities of this particular. It is a GMO product.
Yeah. Non-GMO.
I mean, not.
Wow. Yeah, but try it anyway.
Yeah, right. It is a non-GMO product. It has higher levels of vitamin E, omega-3, omega-6 than olive oil. And it really is versatile. It heats warm and all that. So I started a meal by sautéing some vegetables. I sautéed eggplant, mushrooms, onions.
Did I get to participate in this?
Was it your kitchen?
You ate it.
It was the tempeh? It was the...
Right.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Oh yes. Thank you. Tempeh. So this product, by the way, which we'll have up on the website... is by Better Body Foods and Nutrition. And so I do actually recommend this. I love that it's a non-GMO product, and I love the qualities of it, and it's going to be a keeper in my when I need an alternative.
Yeah, well,
olive
I mean, when I bake, I don't use olive oil, so I tend to use canola oil.
Well,
and
I do use other oils.
What was the name of it?
Safflower. It's
product.
It's called A Better Oil.
That's its. Where do people get it?
It's kind of confusing on the label what it's actually called, but it seems to be called A Better Oil. And the company is Better Body Foods and Nutrition.
We'll put the link on the blog, Scotty.
All that'll be on there.
Well, I want to know where to get it.
Oh.
Well, I would check out the link and find it. Okay. You know, check out the link on our website and check it out. So what I was doing was testing out some award-winning pasta sauces by Dave's Gourmet. And
who is this guy, Dave? His stuff is great.
It is great. It is great. He's... I did do a lot of research on who he is.
Yeah, I know. I'm just teasing. Yeah.
But I love his sauces. So what I started with was the Marsala Marinara. And so in my mind, I was thinking marinara, but it's really more of a Marsala. It combines South Asian flavors with tomato. So they have...
coconut milk.
It's curry, got coconut milk and... lemongrass, and it's great with... So that's what I did. I used the oil first, and I sautéed all of those vegetables up. You'll be able to find the recipe online, and it's not online yet. It'll take a little bit to get on, but keep checking. And then I served it. I cooked a little tempeh in there for protein, and what'd you think, Megan? You had it?
Oh, it was delicious, and we've been eating it for like the last 3 days.
It made great leftovers, didn't it?
It did. And you know, Lisa just made a little pot of rice.
And where's mine?
Yeah, we didn't bring you any.
You didn't bring me any.
You got to come down to the test kitchen, man.
Apparently so.
Yeah, we have fun.
So the next thing I'm going to try in the test kitchen is the, what is it?
The butternut squash.
Oh, the butternut squash one. Yes,
I'm going to
do that.
Good?
I'm going to use. Great. I'm going to use this. Adele's sausages, which are absolutely fabulous. A-I-D-E-L-L-E. And you can get them. Well, I'm going to get them at King's. You can get them all over the place. I've gotten them at Costco and other places. I'm going to use that, and I'm going to cook it with squash sauce. And
well, if you hang around.
We're going to have that tonight for dinner.
This is the Green Diva Test Kitchen Saturday night woohoo party.
So,
No, I wanted to go real quick because, Lisa, before you got here, while you were gallivanting around the world, I had already tried because they sent me 3 different jars.
Ooh.
You missed one. One was Dave's Gourmet Red Heirloom, and they have heirloom tomatoes, and talking about some of the GMO and going back to heirloom seeds and whatnot.
I want to add a kitchen gadget that I tried.
It was so good.
It was.
It was very good. And you know me. I'm a pasta girl, so.
Right. Well, I am too when it's rice pasta because I'm non-gluten. But
and she's a GF girl. That's gluten-free.
There's one other product that I wanted to talk about, and that is the ChopKeeper.
Oh, yeah.
Scotty's going to tease me. He's got the piece of paper across the...
He's like, jump.
I have a little bit of a mixed review, but for the most part, it's really a terrific product. And the best part is they're these plastic trays. They
plastic.
Have 3 of them in 3 different colors. So in your kitchen, you can separate what you chop your meats on and what you chop your vegetables on.
But it's plastic.
It has
BPA-free.
Oh, okay. Was fishing on that one.
You were. Thank you. Good.
I was getting to that point. It is BPA-free. I'm not a big fan of plastic in general. But for a lot, this was great. It had, the edges are turned up so you can put juicy stuff on. Like if
the whole
and
point is.
And it's good, strong plastic so you can put something like hot meat on there.
Can you carve on it without ending
it.
Up with plastic in your meat?
Yep, that's the idea. You can carve on it and the juices stay.
Dishwasher safe?
And it's dishwasher safe.
Well,
and the other thing that I like, the one thing that they looks really easy in the ad is that you can fold it in half and dump the stuff into your pot or your bowl, depending on what you're cooking. It doesn't fold as easy as
well,
it looks like.
Well, I wouldn't
folds.
Want it to. You pick it up and all the juices are flying all over
the
place.
Well, that's true.
Well, you have that choice. I mean, I haven't figured out how to fold it easily. But what I did like was that I had lots of different ingredients to chop up, and I was able to chop them all up at one time, just slide them to the side, and then I was able to
There's plenty of room. Yeah, it's a nice size, and I like the little lippy things. Because
the
then
lippy
you can,
things?
Well, because some of us have to walk a little ways to get to our back door, to get to the deck, to get to the grill, mm-hmm. right, with all the stuff on it. And this way, you know, you're not spilling everything, or you don't have three
Absolutely.
Different plates. And I think it's a good idea.
Looks
I'm
nice.
Not a plastic fan myself, but it is BPA-free, and I was happy to accept these to review and yep. you know in the Green Diva test kitchen.
Now we're going to be using them. I'm going to take them camping with me. I have I do a family camping thing with about 300 friends and family every summer, and we do this giant kitchen. And so we're all in there cooking. I'm going to pass a couple trays around and see how the ladies enjoy and the gentlemen. There's not just ladies in the kitchen.
Well, you don't have 300 people in the kitchen, I assume.
No, but we feed about 300 people from time to time during the time that we're out there. So I do have a couple recipes.
Oh, goody, goody.
I have a couple recipes that'll be online. One's a homemade bath blend that you can make. 2 cups of baking soda, 1 cup of Epsom salts, and 2 teaspoons.
Okay, so this
of
is not
really we were in the kitchen
eating.
A
yeah,
second ago.
Oh, Megan's got something to review. I forgot.
What?
I didn't
hold on.
She's got us in the bathroom already.
I know. We went from the kitchen. I'm eating Epsom salts.
I make these things in the
kitchen. What are they for?
I just want to go back to...
Okay.
I got sent this vegetarian hamburger mix.
Back in the kitchen.
Back in the kitchen. Because, you know, I'm mostly a vegetarian, although I will say that I'm a conscious carnivore, meaning that if I know where the meat came from and that it was happy cows outside, humanely handled, and you know what I mean, I'll eat meat from time to time. But mostly I'm a vegetarian. So anyway, I got this stuff, and I'm skeptical because veggie burgers, by and large—
It's gross.
You know, they're just not that exciting. I don't bother. I've just given up having hamburgers. But this company said, oh, you're going to like this. And I said, all right, well, send me some. And I really did like it. And even Doug, our brother,
who is a major carnivore,
he liked it. He said, oh, my, that's not bad. And it comes dry, and you mix it up with your own. And what I like is it actually does have some dried onion. It's all organic.
You mix it up with your own what?
Water and
water.
To your own consistency.
Yeah.
But I was going to saute up mushrooms and have fun with it. I just kind of forgot to do that. And
so,
I still
may
enjoyed
I see that?
It. Anyway, the company is, what is the, see, here's another one that I'm not sure. Harmony Valley. I'm sorry.
Harmony Valley.
It's like so tiny in the corner. Harmony Valley Vegetarian Hamburger Mix. And Jesse will put that on our website so people can find it. And there you go. Yeah, we've got lots of – see, the food thing, we could go on and on and on about that.
I do want
to – have to go to break in like 30 seconds.
So. I want to do one thing in the quick 30 seconds is look on our website for
– Oh, no. We're not going to break. I'm sorry. I'm confused. We have our Green Diva correspondent on in about 30 seconds. So go ahead real quick.
Before we shift away from our food talk, I do have a couple of recipes that you can look online. But what I would love to remind everybody, and I talked about this once before, the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, has a list of – it's a handy list to look for when you're worried about pesticide
To buy, yeah, when you're buying.
When you can't spend the money to buy all organic all the time, and you have to make choices. Look at the list for the Clean 15 and it's
Dirty Dozen.
And the Dirty Dozen. And the Clean 15 is onions, avocado, corn, pineapple, mangoes, asparagus, sweet peas, kiwi, cabbage, eggplant.
Wait a minute. Clean 15, they've got corn, non-organic corn is a Clean 15? All right, we're going to have to talk about that.
And pineapples? Really? How could that be clean?
Because it's covered. Obviously,
okay.
I mean,
yeah,
it's
I get
grown
it. All right.
with heavy pesticides. It's an evil plant.
And then shipped across the planet.
Evil plant.
In terms of what it does to the land and pesticides, but in terms of what you're ingesting.
Yes,
so,
that's huge.
So check and it also has the Dirty Dozen. So check both of those lists when you're trying to save money and when you
eat better.
Just buy.
Take care of yourself,
people. Let's get Kimberly on the phone. Oh, right. Okay. I have control. I'm so used to having somebody else do it. Kimberly.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thanks. How about you?
I'm so glad you could give us a call and that you were flexible about all the timing. Kimberly is out. Are you in Reno now or Reno area?
I am in Reno.
Okay, so it's a little earlier there.
it's a bit early here, but that's okay. I figure if my farmers can do it, because I'm going to go to the farmer's market after this, so if my farmers can do it, I can do it.
Oh, you're such a trooper. Now, Kimberly, we have kind of a new audience in addition to our older audience that has known you before. Would you give us just a brief introduction on who you are and what you're doing?
Sure. My name is Kimberly. I own a company called Blue Water Studio, and I provide sustainability planning and design services for commercial facilities, industrial process, and business practices. And I tend to work a lot with small little grassroots organizations all the way up to really big projects like VA hospitals. So it's a really nice combination that keeps me interested and excited.
Now, have you worked with schools? Because for some reason I mentioned that schools when I talked about you before, and I didn't know if I just made that up.
Yeah, no, actually, I have worked with schools. I don't have a school project right now, and I would love to have one, but I actually have training with the Collaborative for High Performance Schools program, which is a really fantastic program that looks to make schools around the globe, but definitely in the States, more high performance in their design and atmosphere, because they're noticing that the surroundings are really affecting kids' test scores. And we all know how important that is, and unfortunately sometimes how that affects the funding the schools receive.
Kimberly, on that note, I would love to mention the King of Green, who is he just got some contracts with schools on the East Coast. He's from Kansas City, Missouri. And he's all about finding ways for the schools to learn how to clean their schools in a green way. So that might be something that a good way to partner.
Yeah, we'll have to hook you up offline. We don't have a lot of time, so we'll do that offline, but I would like to hear what you're going to tell us about this morning.
Awesome. Well, I was listening to your GMO conversation earlier, and I heard you mention the food co-op, which is one of the projects that I'm working on here in town, and that new location design is going really well. And one of the things that we have been talking about at the food co-op is our members really are wanting the opportunity to go to a place where they know that there are non-GMO foods being sold so that they can really provide a complete meal for their families and not have to worry about some of the fish in my tomato issues. And the biggest thing that is a gap here in town is that we do not have any bakers that provide organic bread. So breads made from organic flours, where you know that the grain flours are non-genetically modified. And so that's been a really big push for us. So we've actually looked at our commercial kitchen design that's going into the new food co-op so that we can start baking organic non-GMO breads to meet our members' expectations and needs. So that's a really great tie-in to the conversation that you were having this morning. And I'm not sure if you know this, but nationally, the organic seed growers just filed a lawsuit against Monsanto, this whole volley back and forth that we've been talking about. So the organic seed growers are trying to bring to the forefront the conversation about seed contamination, because I know, Meg, you were saying earlier you're not sure if some of the things that say they're organic are actually non-GMO. So. Yeah. The story is a long one. I think it's going to continue for many years.
Yeah. Well, it's been many years in the making, I guess.
Yes.
It is. And today, this evening is actually our food co-op's annual membership meeting and potluck party where, a few hundred people show up with really great food that they've made. And we get to celebrate our successes. The founders of our co-op just won a national award called the Cooperative Service Award, which comes from the Cooperative Development Foundation. And so we're really excited to honor our founders this evening as well.
Congratulations. That sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Yeah. And a couple of other really interesting things that are bubbling here real quick. There is a community organization, which has been around for a little while, but they're reformatting themselves. It's called Green Up, and they're going to be doing a real focus on business and commercial sustainability to help businesses really push the envelope and step up. I don't know if you know this, but we happen to have a warehouse here for Patagonia, and so a lot of people are really aware that by being an uber sustainable business and having a green facility to back it up actually helps stabilize your earnings in tough economic times, because Patagonia is consistently up 20% to 30% in their sales, and they're not the cheapest company around. So people are starting to realize that greening your business really can green your bottom line. So that's an exciting thing that's happening too.
Patagonia has done a couple of, they're really interesting. They're always ahead of the curve. And one of the things they did that I read about was that they narrowed their offering in a couple of particular lines. Instead of having six different types of
the same jacket.
Six different, variations on a jacket. They really only offered like three because it helped to streamline. And they actually, I don't have all the details in front of me, but it was a very sustainable model. And I was very impressed, because that's really like the opposite of retail 101, retail manufacturing.
And they've always been that way.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. They're very conscientious because they're both a manufacturer and a retailer. They also have a really interesting take-back program for their products at the end of the useful life. And one of those locations where they do take-backs is here in Reno. So that's one of the things that I think is super important for businesses to really, if you're producing product that's not consumable, then, you really need to step up and take responsibility for that product at the end of its useful life.
Well, and while we're plugging Patagonia, they're one of the first companies that started to use recycled clothing and RBET.
Which is part of the take-back
program. One of the funniest stories we printed in Relevant Times early on was that Patagonia had this recycled underwear program, which sounds really awful, really awful.
Well, as our listeners know, it's not reused clothing.
It's clothing made from
recycled products.
Right. They literally took, and it
Thank
wasn't
goodness.
Necessarily other underwear that they recycled, but they got material, recycled polyesters, and created long underwear and stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't really, but the headline was kind of catchy.
Exactly.
Well, Kimberly, I'm so glad you called in, and it sounds like you're doing some wonderful work, and we are here. One of the reasons we do these Green Diva reports from all over the country is that so many people in other communities are doing things that maybe other people and us here have not thought of, and we can replicate and learn and share. And I just love hearing about it. And I was in a meeting this week with a guy named Paul Miller here in Morristown, who is starting a really cool eco center in Morristown. Our little Morristown here is a really super sustainable town and making a lot of progress in it being ahead of the curve. And one of the things they're doing, Kimberly, is they are going to do some kind of farmers cooperative to help. How they're going to create a warehouse situation in part of this eco center for restaurateurs to be able to come and find locally grown, organic, sustainable, fun food. So
the movement is spreading. We're really excited about it. I know our local restaurants are super excited about our regional distribution center that we're building.
So anyway, I just wanted to mention that you were I'm going to have this guy call you, because I mentioned you and what you guys are doing, because we've learned about it. And so anyway.
And the other connection that might be great for, if you don't already know, is Chef Michelle Nichon has a foundation where he's helping through a coupon program. I'm not sure I'm saying this right, but a program for people who
It's actually through food stamps.
Through the food stamp program.
Yeah.
Lower income people having the ability to be able to afford organic produce.
Yeah, well, they're getting farmers markets into urban, less served areas where the farmers markets traditionally don't want to go.
Right.
And they're trying to get these double food stamps.
Double coupons.
Yeah,
double,
so that it's really attractive for folks to for the farmers to go and for the folks to go buy and have access to local farm fresh food.
So it's not a very large organization, but they are reaching at the legislative level.
Right, and that's Wholesome Wave, wholesomewave.org. And Kimberly, we have to hang up. We're going to go to a break now, but I'm so glad you called, and you'll call us back in a few weeks, right?
Yes, you know it.
All excited. Right, thanks.
Nice
All
to
right.
talk to you, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Great catching up with you. Bye.
We'll be right back, going to a little break.
As Green Divas and Green Dudes, we're always looking for up-to-date and credible green news and information. And one of our favorite go-to sources is ecoseed.org. As a well-established and internationally known resource for the latest in environmental news, ecoseed.org creates original content as well as gathers and carefully chooses news from some of the most trusted news sources available. A well-organized site that is easy to browse, we recommend making ecoseed.org a favorite in your browser.
Now more from the Green Divas and the token testosterone green dude, Scott.
Welcome back. Yeah. Hello. Are you with me?
I'm back. I'm looking.
I know. We're all busy doing stuff. Anyway, thanks for being on the show with us today. We've had a kind of mixed bag of things, which is kind of how we are. Because it's, you know, not all about one thing. We were supposed to have Rodman Schley on the show today.
What was he going to talk about today?
Well, he's the host of a television show called Urban Conversion. And he and his wife and, I believe, children live out in Colorado, in Denver. And they live in an urban setting. And they're, you know, doing backyard chickens like on their roof or something. You know, they're trying to really find ways to be, I don't know, but I would call it off the grid. But be more sustainable in an urban setting. And
there's so many fun ways. There are fun ways to do that. There really are. I mean, just a little garden for yourself. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, even if it's just that you know, have potted herbs or, you know, things that you grow. But there are ways you can.
Herbs.
So he's a funny guy. He's a fun guy. And he's kind of all over the place. And he's very busy in doing all this fun stuff.
I'm having so much fun every time I go to visit Philadelphia. I have friends that live in Northern Liberties there, and they, too, are doing uber innovative things in terms of sustainable urban living.
You know what's going on in Philadelphia now?
What's going on in Philadelphia now?
Well, I just got big news yesterday. Our seed bomb people just put a new vending machine.
Yeah,
they put a new vending machine. I think they have a second one coming, but they have a new vending machine. I think it's in Northern Philadelphia. I don't know where it is. I don't have it in front of me.
It's probably in Northern Liberties, if that'd be my guess.
Oh, that all around that vending machine is going to be.
And they're actually
new seeds.
It
new
looked
flowers.
The other thing that I think was coming was that they were going to put one in London.
Oh, perfect.
So I think that's so much fun. We love our seed bombs. I think we had our seed bomb spot on earlier in the show.
Yeah, just so our audience, in case they hadn't heard about them before, they are a slingshot with a bomb of seeds, and you.
Oh, the slingshot comes
with
in the vending machine also?
Well, no, I don't think the slingshot.
That
I think
would be
you have
providing
to.
Providing weapons.
Yeah, right, an urban area. Speaking of urban.
They provided us with a slingshot, and it's a little wooden. I think if you order online, you can get the slingshot. But you can go to these vending machines that they have stationed around urban areas that tend to be a little gray because they're trying to get people to green it up, man.
Are there different products? Like you can, you know, select wildflowers?
Well, they do have them regionally. What do you call that?
Yeah,
well, they should be regional seeds, absolutely.
They are regional seeds, I'm sure.
Don't want to introduce some alien, you know, flowers or whatever. You know, one man's flowers, another man's weed. But
might genetically modify that.
Yeah, it might screw things up. You're right, absolutely.
Plants in the area.
But I love that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? That sort of guerrilla fun, you know, going out. We had a lot of fun with them. There's some pictures on the website of Silent Jesse and all of us.
Well, next time I'm over there, I have to go see if anything's sprung up.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we should. Well,
I was there just the other night with the Uncle Buggy Show.
Uncle Buggy Show,
From, you know, we used to be at Homegrown Radio New NJ, and we had a great time there, but we moved to WMTR here, and we're enjoying our new home.
Yeah.
But Uncle Buggy, who is a brother of Meg and mine, and some distant relative of Scott's.
Ex-brother-in-law.
he's taken over our time slot plus another hour, and he has the Uncle Buggy Show.
Yeah, we got to give Uncle Buggy a plug.
And this week, and as a matter of fact, he went to Blair Academy, and it's Blair Academy's 40th reunion weekend. And so what Uncle Buggy's been doing
is...
It's his 40.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's older than both of us.
A long time.
Yeah, he's older than both of us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's so old.
Blair Academy is having their 40th reunion for the class of 1971. I'm sorry.
That makes sense.
I didn't say that well.
Wasn't that a... Isn't there a story behind
yeah,
that?
Yeah, there
class,
is. That's a whole other show.
Okay, moving right along.
But anyway, so what he's doing for this Thursday night, this last Thursday night and next Thursday night, is playing music from that we all listened to in 1971. So, and it's, of course,
good music.
We weren't listening to the top 40
pop.
Hits.
You weren't into
We
pop.
Were listening to all kinds of other stuff. So if you want to hear some really great music that we were listening to in 1971, music you may never have heard before or... Certainly music you don't
well,
hear often
now. Well, it's
very
relevant. We're on WMTR. They're playing music from the, 50s, 60s, and 70s. So it's very relevant to the WMTR audience.
Absolutely. So it's
Do you know, the last time I was up at Blair Academy with Doug, we went up to see Arlo Guthrie. I just had to say that because he's so much fun, Arlo.
He is a lot of fun.
And he's doing a lot of interesting work, speaking of, community service and sustainability. He has the Guthrie Center up in the Berkshires.
Another favorite place of ours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Heavy sigh.
I would like to go back and share some of these recipes that I put together. I've been all about food, all about the kitchen this week, and thinking about things that you make in the kitchen that you can use in different parts of the house. One of them I started to mention was the homemade bath blend, which Scott wanted to know, well, what do you use that for, right?
Well, we were talking about kitchen stuff, and all of a sudden it's Epsom salts. Yeah.
There was no segue. Okay, we're segueing now. Really. Just
okay,
so you know, officially.
You can continue now. Go ahead.
Segue. So when you need to relax in a bath, I recommend putting together this wonderful homemade bath blend, which is 2 cups of baking soda, 1 cup of Epsom salts, and 2 tablespoons of ground ginger. And
wow,
you can package
that's
those
invigorating.
Up. It is. It's very. It's relaxing
an image.
And invigorating.
Oh, sorry.
You can pour that into your bath yourself. You can package it as gifts, which is also a very nice thing to do, and inexpensive and wonderful thing to
now,
give.
Now, do you just put it all raw in there, or do you put it in like a cheesecloth thing?
Oh no,
or a strainer?
No, because it dissolves in the water. So I just pour it into the water, and it's fabulous. And then I was also thinking about this elixir that I used to make for honey if you have a cough or a sore throat or something like that. Very simple. 2 parts honey, 1 part cider vinegar. That's it.
Wow.
You heat it up together and you sip it slowly. You reheat it if you need to before you finish it.
I was going to say cider vinegar is a bit
but
hard
vinegar.
To ingest.
Yeah. It's vinegar.
So how much cider vinegar?
1 part cider vinegar to 2 parts honey.
Yeah, what's wrong? That's not hard.
Huh.
It's all honey. Honey?
It's all honey.
It's all honey, honey. And speaking of honey, I want to encourage people to find your local bee keeper. We have one in Montville. I live in Booton Township, so now the whole world knows that. But Montville, New Jersey, my friend Goose Rock Farm. And she has Jesse's been there with me. Have I taken you there, Lisa?
No,
she has a little honey house, and it's a little
I want to have my own
shed in the back of her house, and sometimes she'll be working out there. You wave as you go in, and you're on your honor. And she has all these different products, aside from just your regular wonderful honey that she makes. She makes all kinds of like lip stuff and facial. The soap is the best.
Well, Burt's Bees ask.
Another good quality about eating local honey is that if you have allergies. They say that local honey is something that'll help you adapt.
Yeah, I've done that, and it actually works. I will swear by that and stick by it.
Well, I've been doing the local honey here since I've been in town, and my allergies are doing a little bit better.
Are you talking about like pollen, grass?
If you have those kinds of airborne allergies, that might be
interesting.
Plant type allergies.
Plant types. It helps your body.
Pollen from the local bees would be in the honey, and theoretically. Get your system.
It's like a homeopathic remedy, basically.
So you want to be a beekeeper?
Like
it's apiary, isn't it?
If I ever stop traveling again, I've had my little chickens and rabbits and space, but and then I kind of been traveling.
Have we more news about colony collapse? Is there any chatter about that?
I haven't heard any more about that. I don't know if it's getting any worse. I know that Landy, my local bee lady from Goose right. Rock Farm, is not having any problems. She's doing pretty well.
Well, that's the thing. You really have to. I mean, there's a lot of care in, you know, it doesn't seem like there would be, but there's a lot of care in, you know, making sure that the hives are properly cleaned and cared for and that you watch very carefully for that. Symptoms
she
of the
colony told me
collapse.
Something about it, and I'd like to get her back on because she had some kind of news about that last time I saw her, and I can't remember. So
and
we'll
you know,
have to
I
get her.
I also saw recently on some, you know, came on Facebook, I think somewhere, some thing where they're having this phenomena in urban areas. There was one in London where a mailbox was totally covered with bees.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, my first inclination is, oh, yay, there's bees. They're back. They're alive. And then my second is like, what?
Yeah,
what
it's
is
a little
this
weird.
What's that about?
Swarm. They tend to swarm, and I'm not sure why. I mean, maybe a behavior thing. But, you know, every once in a while, you'll see on the news where somebody discovers, you know, outside their front door this gigantic swarm of bees.
Well,
in urban areas, though,
sure,
as
yeah.
well, yeah. This is happening on things on mailboxes.
People just need to know that bees are incredibly important for our agriculture systems and for many reasons. But I know that Häagen-Dazs had a really fun website, which I can't remember. I think it's SaveTheBees.org, but I'm not sure. If you look up Häagen-Dazs, I'm sure you'll find it because they're very big in trying to help support. Finding the causes of colony collapse and whatnot. And anyway, there's a lot of information there. And, well, you know, save my Häagen-Dazs. That's what I, you know, please.
And free ice cream.
But I wanted to go back to just the concept of my local bee lady. And I think there probably are more people doing beekeeping and selling their honey locally than there used to be in recent history. I wouldn't say old. But I also have like a local egg lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's funny. I go to the and they're all within maybe 5 miles. I have a little loop that I drive.
You know,
and I
you
go
can
pick
do
up eggs.
You could do chickens. You have the perfect backyard.
No, I can't because I'm just like a 0.02 acres shy. So I'd have to ask my neighbor, and my neighbor already hates me.
Oh. Well, when
no
you move
way.
To the Berkshires,
how could anybody yeah. hate you?
You'll have your flock.
Well, he hated my dog, Gracie.
Oh, that's what it was.
Gracie was a barker.
Well, yeah, I'd have problems with that too, sweetheart.
I don't
Sorry.
Blame him. But it was like this 2 nights in a row that we were out, and it's unusual. And because she gets too hot in the summer, we couldn't bring her in.
Oh.
Anyway, I won't bore you with the whole story, but he hated Gracie. So anyway, I think it's fun to find your local providers of these things. It's kind of interesting. You get to know them. Like I love my egg lady also happens to be my food co-op out of her garage. So she also, you know, there's just so many nice things when you get involved with your local people that way.
That website for the honeybees is helpthehoneybees.com.
Okay, I was way off a trail on that one.
Was that the Häagen-Dazs sponsored or something like that?
Yeah.
Is that what that was? It was linked.
But what I remember about it, and I used to be sitting in an office like 3 years ago when I discovered it in my little office, and the website has all these little bees and flowers, and you hear birds in the background. It sounds like you're sitting in a field, and it's interactive, so you can move your cursor around. And
this is why you were at work.
And yeah. But I used to keep it on in the background, so I'd be working, and you would just hear this like, and it sounded like you were sitting.
Neighbors in the office feel about that.
Well, I had my own office, so
it wasn't a barking dog. So
but it was funny
well
because my boss would come in and he'd look around and go, what? Because I don't have a window or anything.
Yeah, right.
Not that there would have been that sound outside anyway, because
sure.
I was next to Route 80. But
we love that sound.
He would come in and look around. Oh, you have that website on again.
I'm going to check that website out for when I'm working at home.
But aside from all the fun and interesting interactive bits, it does have a lot of information on what you can do. And one of the things, I did a really extensive article, researched article on this a few years ago. And one of the things we can all start doing is planting honeybee-friendly plants. You know, we all like butterfly bushes.
Right.
And, you know, there's a whole list of them. And I think if you go to this site.
I wonder if there's a seed bomb for that.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Seed bomb? Well,
we will have to work with
them.
We're going to find that out.
And just so you know, the seed bomb people are coming on the show July 2nd.
Let's make sure we ask them if they have the
seed bomb
for bees.
So now let me just go real quickly into our upcoming schedule, which, by the way, is on our website, thegreendivas.com. Any opportunity to plug. Anyway, next week we have the founder of treehugger.com, Graham Hill. If he's not in Jakarta, last time we lost him because he was in Jakarta and the phone connection was kind of iffy. He's a traveling guy who's really been obviously a huge inspiration in the environmental movement and the online.
Green people, did you see Heather's posts of her trip to Africa?
No, but we are going.
Elephants?
I think we're going to be talking to her in the next couple of weeks when she's back from Africa. About she does a lot of conservation work in Africa.
Worldwide.
Yeah. And then the following week, on June 25th, we have Susan Frankel, the author of Plastic, A Toxic Love Story. Oh, dear Lord. So I just want to remind folks to keep up with us and please comment and communicate with us on Facebook. Find us Green Divas Radio Show on Facebook. You can follow me and correspond with me on Twitter. That's at Green Diva Meg. And these two are,
you give me a dirty look.
We're bad
girls. Twitterers.
Yes.
You're bad Twitterers, but we'll get you there. And also, you know, of course, our blog. But we'd love to hear from you. So thank you for listening this week. Stay tuned to more fun on WMTR. And we'll catch you all next Saturday morning. Have a great green week.
Wise up, be green.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.